Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
I'm Rachel True.
And I'm Trent Venegas.
And you're listening to Quoting Gene Roddenberry,
the 100-day podcast that celebrates what would have been the 100th birthday of the man that created Star Trek.
Each day between now and the end of our podcast,
August 19th,
one of Star Trek's biggest icons,
or celebrity fans,
or both, will be quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Then we're going to take a deep dive into why we think this sci-fi legend still has a lot to say to the world.
Today's quote is read by Mark Moses.
We live in an age of a new Gutenberg press, which is going to bind us together and change communications beyond what we ever thought possible.
And I would like to welcome back one last time this week our favorite actor, producer, director.
Klingon?
Mary Chifo. I like that. Klingon Empress.
Also, only he's welcoming you back, Mary. I don't welcome you back.
Okay, that's
no,
fine.
I do.
That's fine.
But
yeah. No, it's been such a joy and such an inspiring conversation of overarching conversation. I just am really, I feel all the things that one wants to feel when talking about Star Trek. So this has been really, really wonderful.
You've been you're a top-notch guest. One of the things I'm so curious about, and Trent was asking this before, we don't know exactly when this quote was from, because part of me wonders if it was the 80s, because again, I'm 4,500 years old. And in the 80s, we had my dad was into computers before anyone else. We had an early version of the internet. It was literally just a chat room over. It wasn't the internet, wasn't anything. I'm talking very early 80s. So it's very Gutenberg press, the internet, right? It is an equalizer in a sense. I wish it was free for everyone. But much in the same way, Gutenberg, the press changed everything. All of a sudden, you could get that information out to anyone who could read, which was not a lot of people at the time. But you could get that info out. We are now living in that age, actually. And we do cat memes. No, we do a lot of big stuff. No, we do a lot of big stuff. What are your thoughts on this quote, Mary?
Yes, I mean, I think it is interesting that regardless of when he said it during the time that he was alive, that it was relevant then and even more relevant now. I think, you know, again, it speaks to the progression of humankind that, you know, we do have the potential to really expand and be better and to reach out. And obviously we get in our own way a lot, which is why we keep telling these stories and keep having to show a mirror to ourselves because we, you know, we're not perfect. Life is not perfect.
What?
Yeah, what?
What?
Uh-oh, better. No, what a way to end. Life is not perfect. Goodbye, everyone. Good luck with that. I'm going to go off to Kronos and you guys can figure out your humans. but I do, yeah, I think it's so great that he referenced specifically, yeah, the Gutenberg press and the impact that made and what you were saying too about like, it began that expansion. And even though not everyone exactly has the same level of internet access, it is more widespread. And certainly coming out of the year we just had where we had to recalibrate our level of communication in profound ways. And in a lot of ways, I found it to be a time of equalizing. But also I found it interesting that I think I had almost even more of a hope that like, oh, now that everyone's in their homes in a certain way, we're all really going to realize how much we all are the same you know, need to celebrate the expanse of all of us. And it was interesting to observe how even within that, it's our human tendencies. I was saying in the previous episode, create a hierarchy that we still, there were still ways in which we could conquer in this way that, you know, we have not surpassed that quality in ourselves as humans, sadly. But not to be a negative Nancy, because I am clearly not, as we know. I'm a very happy, enthusiastic person, mostly. I I do celebrate that we are in this time where exactly like what I can access on my phone, information wise, how it allows me to, and again, this year with Zoom, the Zoom of it all, the amount of communication I've been able to have with people globally. And I've felt that impact just in the, you know, the past few years with conventions and everything. The fact that I've been able to travel to Germany, to England, I would even celebrate even more the fact that I got to go to all these wonderful small towns throughout America, places I never would have gone otherwise. I mean, I love the large, big Star Trek conventions, but the smaller, you know, locally run ones are so special as well because it's so much about the community being together.
But there's more one-on-one with the fans, right? As opposed to a bigger Comic-Con, it's like impossible to get into to Hall A, but...
Yeah, exactly.
You know... Trent, one of the things that I think is interesting about technology and the internet, especially also video cassettes back in the day, is that they did actually bring, I think, especially when we're talking about gay men, right? You saw more images of things that were considered other, like my blackness, your gayness, whatever is other about us. All of a sudden, you were seeing more images of that, and it was part of normalizing it. And even to that extent, I threw in videotape because, you know, videotape really revolutionized not just the porn industry, but but everything.
But everything. Yeah. The ability to record a TV show and watch it over and over. We take it for granted now. We can stream, we can binge, you know, countless seasons on any of the streaming services. But back in the 80s or even in the 90s, it aired one time. Maybe it would be in reruns years down the line. But if you missed it, you missed it. So the ability to be able to record onto a cassette and hold on to it and watch it over and over and over again, that was a revolution and that was a miracle
and
for me.
And Trent, your blog... And everything, a lot of how you came up and got attention was due to tech, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. It was like the democratization of the press. You know, I was writing daily, whereas magazines were being published weekly. So I had the jump on the, you know, the entertainment news daily. And that is what served me very well. And I'm very thankful for that. But then I could see as the years went on that social media was encroaching on even the daily things that I would write.
Oh, wait, even a daily blog? Because I get how your blog jumped. Magazines used to have a 3-month lead time, meaning you would do the interview and it wouldn't be in the magazine for three whole months. And the world has changed exponentially in those 3 months, right?
Yeah. Or think about the ones that were published weekly. And I, you know, I was publishing every single day. And then I saw that social media is instant. Mary, when you tweet it instantly and then it's retweeted and your fans are retweeting it and it takes off, you know, instantly. Blogs cannot compete with that.
Well, it also...
And that's when I saw...
Sorry,
so I saw the writing on the wall and I was just like, okay, my time in this in the sun is setting. Let me cash out on my own terms. And, you know, and here I am.
I still think a blog, though, has more... listen, I'm on Twitter and Instagram and all that all the time, but there's something kind of so ephemeral and they get lost in the ether pretty quickly, what we throw out.
That's true.
On Twitter, unless it grabs hold. So I still like a blog and things where I can read a long format, to be totally honest. What, Mary, any other thoughts you have on this particular quote and as far as how it's changing our communication beyond what we ever thought was possible with our new tech world?
Yes, absolutely. And yeah, speaking to the Twitter and the Instagram of it all, I think, you know, it's what again, and then tying it back to conventions and the Star Trek fandom is that when I was officially announced in my casting and I had just gotten a Twitter because I was like, oh, I think that would probably be good. It seems like, you know, they're going to announce it. And the amount of welcome that came from this online community, immediately, I was having, you know, people tweeting at me saying, welcome to the family. And, you know, of course, since then, since, you know, and I engaged right away because I was excited. And I was, you know, I was watching episodes and, you know, it was, I built that vocabulary with everyone so quickly. And then I've had the experience of people I've interacted with online, then meeting them in person at the convention. I'll either get the heads up, they'll tweet at me and like, I'll be, you know, at your panel today. And then I'll see see them, you know, in the crowd. And, you know, it's and I get a beautiful artist, Steffi from Germany. She had been drawing pictures of a lot of us in the cast. Mm. We started chatting and I was reposting her work, and we did get to meet when I was in Dortmund. And she continues to do a lot of, I have a whole self-portrait series I do on Instagram. That's kind of like my, that's my side little creative.
Oh, are you, or do you use a real can, do you use a proper camera or iPhone?
I actually, so the, I use the iPhone. I have a very, inspired by Cindy Sherman's work.
Yeah, yeah, I love her. I love her work.
So, right. I don't know if you got, there have been a few great exhibits in the past like 10 years or so. And I'm a big art history nerd in general. I really, really loved particularly her original, the black and white photos that she did kind of around New York that play to images you feel like you saw in a movie but aren't them.
For those,
and so,
for those who don't know Cindy Sherman, it's sort of self-portraiture as opposed to selfie. There's a big difference.
Yes, okay. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Go look up her work.
Yeah, yeah. And basically the self-portrait series is kind of inspired by that. But it's, I use the phone, but I don't look at, it's not in selfie mode.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
on
yeah.
the timer. Mm-hmm. And then it's using found areas. But Steffi's recreated those and all that sort of stuff.
Oh.
But the fact that I have this relationship with this woman in Germany who I never would have met before. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We've been able to meet in person when I was mm-hmm. there. We've been able to communicate this year on Zoom and various things. We've been able to collaborate on other projects. Like, that's profound. That's just amazing.
It is, but okay, I just
happen.
Have to jump. I love all that, and I love connecting with people who see my stuff and da-da-da. But I've also got to have to, I just have to jump in and warn people about Stranger Danger too, right? Like, just be
yes.
a little.
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry, I just, yes. I'd be remiss not to say that because I had a stalker and a 10-year restraining order of social media, and I just yeah. want to say you can make internet friends, but just make sure. Some people are meant to be
yes.
internet friends, okay?
And picking up from what you said, Mary, like, some of my really, really good friends are friends I've never met. I have a friend, Patrick, who lives in New York. I've known him since the blog days. We met, you know, through the blog. And then, you know, on social media, we've stayed in contact. We talk about Drag Race whenever it's on. We always, you know, back and forth. And he's one of my really, really good friends. And we've never actually met. And it's amazing that technology and the way that we communicate now has fostered real relationships that are completely digital.
Mm-hmm. So I, my personal feeling is someday we'll have all this, like, you know, contacts in our eyes or things implanted in us where it'll just be instantaneous communication. So
yep.
what do you think, like, what do you think is going to happen then? What's the next step for us? Do we become weirder and even
more
self-involved when that happens? Or do we actually use it to connect?
So how do you even get more instant than instant, you know, like, how do you compete with that?
It's in your brain.
If I had to guess, and we talked about this earlier, Rachel, if we're able to unlock the full potential of our brain's capacity, we only use around 10%.
Give me
right?
my other 90% and I can fly.
Yeah, maybe we have the ability to fly or to telepathically communicate.
But
with
that we already do. You listen, people, if you access your intuition, your energy frequency and mm-hmm. vibration, you can pick up on things, the thoughts of others, the energy. I think that's already here. That's within the 10% we already have, to be honest.
So,
it's
so
how
you
much
would
you've
say
developed it.
So you would say those are the seeds of maybe the next jump in our communication technology, maybe figuring out how to, like, harness
well,
that. And
Mary,
and,
I'm curious what you think about this, but I personally think telepathy, intuition, you know, gut instinct, it saved us as cavemen. I think we probably, my hypothesis is we probably relied more on that kind of psychic-y stuff way back in caveman days. We lost it. We lost that, or some people lost the ability, and then here we are rediscovering it now. But that's just me. What do you think, Mary?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is, you know, and it is the theme of so many sci-fi stories in general, and certainly in Trek, is what is that gut instinct? What is that quality, that human quality? Is that lost in it with the technology, or is it amplified?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a mixture?
Right.
Is it, you know, like, I would hope that as we continue to, you know, become more digitally advanced and whatnot, that it is more of an amplifier than something that negates
Mary,
our
you're a
humanity.
Little you're a little psychic, right? You know you are.
Oh,
you know you are. Trent.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. I can tell. Like, Trent, do you feel like you're a little... Because I know I'm a little psychic. People always get weirded out that I know. It's never anything helpful, though. It's always... No, it is. Sometimes it's helpful, but it's always random things that I'll pick up on. What about you, Trent? Do you get a sense?
I get a sense. I have feelings. I wouldn't say it's as honed as maybe yours, because I don't feel like I have control over it.
But that's because I honed it. It's yeah, only because I honed it. We all have that. What my point to is, you feel it. If you developed it more, it's right there for you. Mm-hmm. That's
so
my
it's like
guess.
A muscle. Yeah. It's like a muscle.
It is
to work
a muscle.
With.
And once we have all this stuff implanted in our brain, it'll be interesting to see if that muscle atrophies or if it actually expands and grows and helps us. I think it will. I mean, I have to, because I'm like Gene Roddenberry, an optimist. I'm a cynical, stoical optimist.
Yeah. And I would say, I think he, you know, and all of Star Trek shows that in the species that we see and our relationship with technology in the utopian society he created, that there still is various forms of spirituality. Mm-hmm. And again, we see it a lot with the Klingons. We see it with the Bajorans. You know, Vulcans. I mean, all of the different species. But, you know, obviously emphasized more with certain cultures, and that there is still a synthesis of that. And, you know, maybe we have different terms for it. Again, I think that's one of the biggest parts of our evolution as a species, is things that have been innately, you know, happening always. Like, people have existed and expressed, you know, whether it be sexuality, or obviously we know that there's been a multitude of just different people being themselves. But now we are just developing terminology that is ever evolving. And again, we don't speak Shakespearean English, but he was inventing words. So he was already expanding the vernacular. Yep. So I think, again, in line with that, it's like, I hope that this technological vocabulary that we're building as well is something that is, again, leading us towards being more in contact with that side of ourselves, that it's not saying we can't be in touch with our soul or our spirit or our humanity, whatever term.
I'm kind of envious of people who live, if providing we're still here a few hundred years, because I want all that tech stuff. I want to fly the stars. Yeah. I want to do all that. And I can't. Anyway, I feel like Trent and I have had an amazing time with you this week, Mary. And we're so...
It has been such a pleasure.
Yeah, we're so appreciative that you took the time out. And it means even more, I think, because this is a podcast celebrating Gene Roddenberry. And to see the reverence and love and appreciation that you have for booking that job and getting to play that character is amazing. Because, you know, you never know with performers. And people are like, yeah, And you have just this deep appreciation, and I really respond to that kind of thing, because I feel like the more we say in gratitude, the more we can actually be in alignment with Gene Roddenberry's thoughts. What do you, Trent?
Oh, absolutely. 100% sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I definitely agree. And I'm just so moved. The opportunities like this to be able to have this expansive of a conversation is just a gift that keeps giving when it comes to Trek and meeting new wonderful people like yourselves. Woo-hoo! I mean, it's just... So exactly, living in that gratitude. Yeah, life is tough and hard, as we've talked about all week. But I know that you know, when we all come together and celebrate our authentic selves together, we're gonna reach something better.
I think those are beautiful words to end on. So if you guys want to see the video of the cast of characters we have reading the quotes, you can check them out on the Roddenberry social media pages on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
And thank you, Mary, so much for all of these amazing conversations we had this week. And we hope that you will join us again tomorrow for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Ciao.
Kapla!
Love it. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's quote. So tweet us, post us, DM us, whatever.
We're at Roddenberry on Twitter and Facebook, and at Roddenberry Official on Instagram.
Quoting Gene Roddenberry is a Roddenberry podcast hosted by me, Rachel True.
And me, Trent Venegas. Producing are Claire Kramer and Kelsey Goldberg, with executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Engineering and editing are provided by Elizabeth Joy Windham.
And special thanks to all those who were kind enough to read a quote and give a voice to Gene Roddenberry's everlasting words.
Live long and prosper.